Good morning and welcome to Perspectives, a public affairs program produced by Midwest Communications of Holland. In the 1450 WHTC newsroom, I'm News Director Gary Stevens.
A five-year-long lawsuit filed by the Sierra Club against the City of Holland and the Holland BPW over alleged past violations of the Federal Clean Air Act as it pertains to the DeYoung coal-fired power plant is apparently over. Both the City Council and the Utility Board last Wednesday night approved an out-of-court settlement that would see the environmental group drop the litigation and step aside from challenging the pending construction of a new natural gas fuel plant in exchange for $450,000 and a gradual phase-out of coal use at DeYoung over the next decade. That facility is designated for decommissioning during that period. BPW General Manager Dave Koster explained all the particulars to City Council and the general public during Wednesday night's meeting.
We did meet with the Board of Public Works in a special joint session earlier this evening, and the board has reviewed what is now before the council, and that is two agreements, a consent decree and a settlement agreement that essentially would resolve all outstanding disputes that exist between the Holland Board of Public Works, City of Holland, as well as the with the Sierra Club and the Natural Resources Defense Council. As the board and as council have been aware, and maybe some at home have as well, that this has been an outstanding issue for many years now. This dates back to 2008, and at that time, the Board of Public Works was pursuing a permit to install a new circulating fluidized bed coal boiler at the James DeYoung plant. At that time, we were sued by the Sierra Club, alleging violations of the Clean Air Act. There have been two suits, one alleging that certain projects at the plant were major modifications requiring a new permit. The other lawsuit was for visible emissions of or opacity emissions, which are essentially the visible emissions coming out of the stack. Those cases have been ongoing for some time. They have been handled at the Western District Federal Court here in the state of Michigan. Also, there have been challenges in the state court. In the state court, the Sierra Club and the Natural Resource Defense Council challenged the issuance of that circulating fluidized bed permit and the extension of that after we had sought an 18-month extension to that permit. Since 2008, a lot has happened. In 2008, it was a much different place in the world of energy than it is today. Since that time, this community has done a number of things, not because of the Sierra Club's lawsuit, but in spite of it. We have moved forward on a 40-year community energy plan to redefine not only how we produce energy, but how we use energy in this community. As part of that strategy coming out of that community energy plan, we have engaged in a very robust, innovative process called a sustainable return on investment, where we analyze over the next 25 years what is our best course of action for power supply for this community, looking at not only the fiscal or the financial impacts, but also the social and community and environmental impacts of these decisions. That led us to a very sound recommendation last year at this time that was approved by board and council through resolution to move forward not only on a new ultra-efficient natural gas combined cycle plant, but also to incorporate two new wind contracts into our portfolio of resources. Those two wind contracts, along with the other renewable resources that we have, put us well beyond the state mandate of 10% of our power supply coming from renewable resources by 2015. We will actually be closer to 16% of our power supply coming from renewable energy. This new gas plant will be a very low emission, very ultra clean resource, very high efficiency resource that can not only be used for powering the community, but has great promise for the potential of utilizing waste heat for beneficial use including what we're already doing in terms of providing a wonderful downtown area with our snowmelt system, but in addition to that, being able to potentially heat homes, and or not homes, but commercial buildings, maybe eventually homes, you know, within certain parts of the community. So when you look at what's happened since 2008 and where we are today in 2013, a lot has changed in terms of our direction. These cases still remain pending in the court, in the federal court. We are approaching a trial for each of those lawsuits. What's happened on the state court level is we've actually successfully defended our right to have these permits that we've had for the circulating fluidized bed, winning both at the court, the circuit court level, and also at in both the original permit and on the extension. So even with that in mind, we are facing significant costs going forward and certain amount of risk. There's always an unknown when you go to trial. From a cost standpoint, we know that the expected defense costs are going to at least be $1 million, could be additional up to $2 million of cost to try both of these cases. We have sought, and I think to the benefit of our ratepayers, been able to secure support from our insurance provider for one of those two cases. That insurance provider has come forward to actually pay for past defense costs and also a commitment to pay dollar for dollar on ongoing and future defense costs. The other case, we are working to seek defense costs for that particular case. So not only is the City of Holland and the BPW looking at the risk associated with the defense costs, but our insurance carrier is looking at the cost associated with that as well. So when you sit back and you look at where we are today versus where we were in 2008, you look at the progress that's been made in this community and the decisions that have been made in terms of where we're going, you know, it's appropriate to sit back and contemplate whether or not there's a path forward towards settlement, given the fact that our trajectory is a little bit different than what it was back then. So for the past several months, several individuals, including myself, our city attorney, our legal counsel that's been supporting us at Latham & Watkins and other key staff at the Holland Board of Public Works, have been working to try to find resolution with the Sierra Club, you know, on these key issues. I'm pleased to say that I think we've got to a point now where we've reached an agreement that's embodied within these two documents that provides us a number of things. It provides us some flexibility going forward on our operation because it preserves some fuel flexibility at the existing DeYoung unit as we ultimately will phase out coal over a period of time, but it does give us some operating flexibility over the next decade to do that in a way that is consistent with what the community's goals are and consistent with what our council and board would like to see in terms of the use of that resource. It also provides us some peace and security going forward on our new plant, in that embodied within this agreement, the Sierra Club and the Natural Resource Defense Council have agreed not to oppose or otherwise comment on the new natural gas combined cycle unit. And as we move forward into the bonding and financing for that plant, as well as the construction, you know, knowing that there will not be delays or other challenges to that plant, is certainly a valuable thing. The agreement, of course, as we're moving forward in that direction, we have agreed to void our permit that we had for the circulating fluidized bed, which essentially is a moot issue given the fact that we're moving forward towards a natural gas plant. And so, you know, with that, I think those are really the primary elements of the agreement. It's important to also note that there is a provision of a payment to the Sierra Club and the Natural Resource, or not to the Natural Resource Defense Council, but to the Sierra Club for past costs incurred, fees and costs. But really, when you look at that, again, it's an evaluation of risk of us moving forward on the trials. I mentioned that's a seven-figure kind of investment of both on our part and the insurance providers. The insurance provider in this particular case, Excel, has agreed to pay $300,000 of that $450,000 payment that's agreed to in this. So that really leaves $150,000 on the table. As I have mentioned, we are seeking defense costs on the second case, that opacity case. We haven't reached agreement with that insurance provider at this point, but we do intend to seek recovery not only of past costs, but also the $150,000, which I view, and I think we have preserved as being future defense cost mitigation in looking at what that otherwise could be going forward. It's also important to note that in this agreement, there is no admission of wrongdoing or liability associated with this. We have, and we continue to feel very strongly about what our position was in those cases and continues to be. This is merely a recognition of the fact that we are on a different path than we were at that point, and there is an opportunity to resolve issues, to avoid risk, to avoid delay, and to avoid future expense.
The settlement still must be approved by the U.S. District Court in Grand Rapids and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. And that's Perspectives for this week. From the 1450 WHTC Newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens. Thank you very much for listening, and join me again next week at this time for more Perspectives.